Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you live here Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Call in to 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. If you're wondering, so I looked it up, like I said, scrolling through Facebook, and a little picture came up, and this song here, Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, was number one back on this day in 1987. So I thought that was kind of funny. And I don't know, truckers are like, they'll never admit that they listen to this kind of music, you know, but sometimes you see going down the road, you look up into the truck, you see the trucker jamming going down the road. This is probably what he's listening to right here. I ain't lying. But, you know, we got some interesting things happening this week. We had the vaccine mandate actually got released. The OSHA office finally released its version of the vaccine mandate for all of the companies out there that have 100 employees or more. So a lot of people had some things to say about that, including the Secretary of Labor, about truck drivers. So we'll dive into that and figure out what's going on with all that stuff. And also, I found some interesting articles about the driver shortage and hiring drivers and supply chain and all that kind of stuff. So we'll dive into stuff like that. And the other thing I thought was kind of cool was talking to some new owner-operators about fuel cards and how to deal with fuel cards. You know, is that something that you got to think about if you're leased to a carrier that has a fuel card? They give you a fuel card. They say, here, you can buy fuel with this. Is that good for you? Is that bad for you as an owner-operator? So we'll dive into that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of options there and a lot of things you need to know. And we thought we'd kind of talk about that a little bit. And like I said, call in, chime in, 516-387-1733. And we'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You know, those guys have been with us since the beginning. But if you've got, like, you know, the SCR filters and the EGR coolers and mufflers and all the parts for those emission, you know, whatever they call them, units on your new trucks, the newer kind of trucks, you can give these guys a holler at dpfregeneration.com. They're the ones that got all the knowledge and know-how, and then, of course, they got the parts. And they'll even clean them for you. You overnight them to their facility, they'll clean them and overnight them back to you. So give them a shout, 800-634-3010. Like I said, you can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. So if you like those guys, check them out. And when you talk to them, make sure you tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Ice, because we surely do appreciate them. And like I said, don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. It's going great for us, and we hope everybody's doing great on that. And check out our website, redneckandice.com. We got a store over there, all that kind of good stuff. So just like I said, just check that stuff out, and we'll see about that. So just hang in there, and we'll be talking about that. And like I said, taking calls and talking about things and getting it going. Redneck and Eyes Radio, here we go.
I'm just that off about San Antonio with a radio blasting in the bird dog call. There's a sea trap up ahead of Salmon Town, but no local yoga's gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar town. Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down the lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on 30.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
It was Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. You can check us out, 516-387-1733. We brought the conversation at one. You know, I don't blame you for wanting to kind of, you know, get off the internet and tune in, because tonight is the big two-hour season premiere of the fourth season of Yellowstone. I tell you what, that's a damn good show right there. If you're a truck driver out there and you ain't never heard of Yellowstone, I got to tell you what, man, you need to stop and you need to get on and download the app and watch. There's three seasons out there. And, you know, the biggest thing is that there was a big cliffhanger at the end of season three. And then the COVID thing happened. So it's been over a year. The season started like right when the shutdown happened. And then it ran 10 seasons. And of course, that's 10 weeks. So you're what? We're like in the middle of July of 2020. And then it's over. And then, you know, we're still in lockdown technically. And then, of course, they don't reshoot anything or start doing anything until later on. So we're now, just now, getting into season four, season premiere. And I tell you what, it's amazing that I'm surprised that it ain't built up as big as it's. You know, of course, it's on cable. It's on the Paramount Network, which used to be Spike TV, if you're not aware of that, all that stuff like that. But, you know, it's one of those things where it got changed over. You can actually, if you pay for the streaming service of Peacock is, I guess it's an NBC thing. I guess that's, you know, that's what the mascot for NBC is it's an app, Peacock. You pay, I think it's like $5 a month. And you can actually stream all three seasons on that app. And I don't think there's any other place you can get it right now. You know, it's funny that it's on the Paramount Network. Paramount Network advertises that it's part of Paramount Plus, which is the, you know, same companies. And then they advertise that there's going to be another Yellowstone show going to be on Paramount Plus, but you can't watch the current show Yellowstone on Paramount Plus. So you have to get it on Peacock right now. And that's what it's on. And even right now to watch it live, it's got to be on cable. So if you want to catch the season premiere, it's, I guess an hour from now, what is it? It's going to be at 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It's got to be on, actually it's on three different networks. It's on CMT. It's on Paramount Plus or the Paramount Network. And it's on, which one is it? Is it TV Land or something like that? It's on one of those other channels that I don't watch very much. But, you know, I looked it up. It's on three different channels at the same time. And then it's going to replay. Of course, it's 2 hours long, so you're going to have a two-hour season premiere. And then as soon as that show's over, it starts again. So it's going to replay. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch it when it comes on. Of course, unless you've got some type of DVR system at your house or in your truck where you can record the shows that are playing, and then you can record them and watch them when you want. But for you out there that you know you want to catch it, I think you might be able to catch the, you know, season four, episode one, the new season premiere, the 2 hour season premiere. You might be able to catch that like tomorrow on Peacock. I'm not real sure if you pay for that service. I'm not real sure. If I know anything, I'll post it on Facebook, but it's a really cool show. If you guys haven't checked into it, it's Kevin Costner. You know, he's a rancher up there in Montana, and he's got a big, huge ranch, you know, that's part of his family, like seven generations. And they do anything and everything to keep hold of their power. And, you know, for all the guys that watch it going to the train station, they all know what that is. And there's just a lot of cool things about, you know, that out there and how they do things. And it's a good show. Good modern day Western kind of thing, you know, and of course drama and all that good stuff. So it's a big deal, and everybody that I know that's watched it, they love it. So if you're a trucker out there and you like good shows and you ain't heard of one yet, then check that out because that's a good show. I like all those shows. I'm a big you know, like I got a lot of the streaming services. You know, I'm big in the NCIS, Blue Bloods. You know, I try to catch some new ones every now and then, but it's hard to, you know. You know, you gotta get behind, and then you got to catch up again. You know, I was a big fan of Homeland when it was out. Of course, Justified. I was watching it before it was cool, and they only ran like 5 seasons, and they ended it. It was over. They were done with it, and it could have gone on longer because it was a good show. But you know, things like that is how truck drivers pass the time out there. Of course, when we're waiting around, get unloaded or get loaded or to get a load, that's what we do. We find shows to watch on TV. You know, I tell you what, if you're a new truck driver today, you got it easy. Back in the day, we had a TV in the truck. You know, if we weren't parked in the right place, we wouldn't get channels, and you can only get the local channels. And sometimes, man, I remember being stuck out there and going across Nebraska or Wyoming, and you'd have to shut down for the night, and you get out there and you say, okay, I'm gonna scan for some channels and, you know, watch a little TV before I hit the sack. And luckily you could scan. You know, I remember back in the day, you couldn't even scan for channels. You had to like, you know, look it up or hope that you knew what was going on. But these new TVs, they scanned, and you can scan for channels, and you let it go and it go through its thing. It scanned through some channels, and then it'd say, okay, you have 3 channels available, and some of them be good. Some of them would be just like public access or whatever. And then I've been places where you scan them as no channels available because you're in the middle of nowhere and you ain't getting no TV. So yeah, it's crazy. But that's life on the road, man, trying to entertain yourself or stay up to date with what's going on. And, you know, staying up to date is one of those things that, good thing with internet, satellite radio, streaming services, whatever you want to do, YouTube, you know, Redneckinized Radio, good stuff like that, is staying up to date with what's going on. And if you guys ain't heard, a truck driver got elected to the New Jersey State Senate. Now, I was talking to some individuals, and they were talking about how they were going to, they thought that this trucker was going to be able to, you know, kick out Pelosi or kick out, you know, the senators that are trying to control Biden or whatever. And no, this truck driver, he did not get elected to the U.S. Senate. He got elected to the state Senate. So the New Jersey State Senate, he is a state senator. Now, the senator he beat was like the longest serving state senator in the state of New Jersey. And he was like the president of the Senate, and he was the boss of everything. So that doesn't mean that this person is going to become the president of the Senate. It just means that, you know, the oldest serving senator in the state Senate of New Jersey is gone, had been voted out. So the people voted in the truck driver, and he's not going to probably have a lot of pull as far as controlling Senate, but he has a vote and he has a voice. And so we hope that that he gets up there and is able to do what he needs to do to do all those different things. Because he talked about it. He talked about how, you know, what he wants to do or what he thinks he should do. And of course, being a voice is always a big thing. And here's what he said on Fox News when they interviewed him the other day.
First thing you're going to do when you get to the Capitol in Trenton?
I really don't know. That's the key factor. I don't know what I don't know, so I will learn what I need to know. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I will be the voice, and people will hear me. Because if there's one thing people will learn about me, I got a big mouth, and I don't shut up. When I want to be heard, I'm going to be heard.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say that I will be that voice for the people, because
he's a truck driver.
The people deserve a voice.
Right.
And that's what an elected official is. They're supposed to be the voice of the people, not the it's a term that I tend to hate, and I've told many people I hate it when people go and call them our elected leaders. They are not. They are our elected officials,
well,
our representatives.
Edward, I want to thank you for joining us. Your race is inspirational. By the way, it's already legend. It was not $150 you spent. You actually spent $5,000, but still, it was a fraction of what your opponent did, and so we congratulate you tonight. You're an inspiration.
There you go. Yeah, so he was funny because he's like, well, I don't know what I'm actually going to do because I don't know what I don't know yet. And it's like, yeah, because, I mean, you get there, and, of course, he doesn't know, you know. I mean, he doesn't set the agenda is what he's saying. And I agree with him what he says there. You know, you see it all the time how these politicians, it's like, you know, what are you going to vote on? Well, you have to vote on whatever the leaders of the legislature. Now, it doesn't say they are elected officials, right? They're elected representatives. But once they all meet together, there's always somebody that's in charge of them. And that person is the one that decides on, you know, what they vote on and all that stuff like that. But he gets a voice and all that stuff. And like he says, you know, hey, he's a truck driver. He's got a big mouth. So he's going to make sure that they get their voices heard. And that's awesome. You know, we need more of that. And I always thought, you know, it'd be a good idea. I listen to Ben Shapiro a lot, and Ben Shapiro talked about this guy getting elected, and he thought it was a great thing. And he says, you know what, we don't need these, you know, scholars or lawyers or big-time business owner millionaires to be in these office representative positions. He said, we need regular people. That's a good thing, because that's the perspective that's got to be had. You know, you got to have that. And I totally agree with what he's saying, is that you have to get the regular person or a blue collar, a white collar perspective. You know, just like when we're talking about trucking, there's all these different perspectives. And, you know, I think that a lot of these CEOs in trucking, in the first, especially the bigger ones, you know, we were talking last week how the CEO of C.H. Robinson he doesn't understand how things are done. He's never seen the pits and the dugouts of what's going on in the trucking industry. He just knows from his ivory tower, he looks at these reports. That's all he knows. He doesn't know anything else. You know, so you need that. You need a regular person in these representative positions to be able to tell, you know, all of these scholars, no, that's not what they're thinking about. You know how they you hear all these politicians, they get out there and they start talking about, you know, what are they talking about around the kitchen table when they're trying to pay their bills and all that? What are they thinking of? And, you know, the one thing that those, you know, you call them elitist, but they're, you know, they're just people that prefer to be intellectuals when it comes to, like, you know, going to school and researching things and studying and all that stuff. They don't hold freedom as high as a person like you or me. They don't hold their personal freedom is not a big deal to them. They understand, you know, what their understanding is that there are rules you got to follow. Well, we'll just make more rules, you know, because you're already following rules. Why not follow a few more rules? And then, of course, you know, we all know certain limit, certain time, and next thing you know, there's too many rules. You know, just like in trucking, we all know. There's, you know, when trucking got deregulated, in fact, there was a video I watched today talking about when trucking back in the day was highly regulated. It was, you couldn't run a certain route unless you had a permit to run that route. You had to have license plates in every state you ran. If you didn't have a license plate, you had to buy a license plate, and it was expensive. And each state controlled it. There was no FMCSA. There was no, you know, all around rule book. There was different rules every state. So rates were pretty high because it was hard to get into those lanes and everything. Well, then they deregulated all that stuff and they made it where you could, it was really easy to get, you know, almost too easy to get a truck, drive down the road and make money. And you just had to buy certain permits and for certain things, and certain things they made national, certain things they made just by the states. So you could just get whatever you needed and then get going down the road. And every now and then, you know, they added a new rule. Say, hey, you know what, that's getting out of hand, you know, and all that. Hours of service, they changed that, kept changing it. For some reason, people thought, you know, there was a scientist that came out, well, the study shows that every driver should get at least 8 hours of sleep. So they got to the point where if you didn't shut down for at least 8 hours, you weren't going to get the sleep time wasn't counting towards your sleep time if it wasn't at least 8 hours. You know, now they've dropped it down to, I think it's down to 6 or 7, but it's still pretty high because, you know, they listen to the scientists. They don't listen to the drivers. You know, if you listen to a driver, the driver will tell you, you know, well, I say that you need just, you can't control everybody's sleep habits. So you just got to let people go and do what they got to do. And what you need to do is you need to be vigilant out there on the road. And when you see trucks swerving because they're falling asleep, well, then pull them over. But of course they don't want to do that. You know, they don't want, so what they want to do is they want to put everybody on a computer, and that's what they want to do. They want to make sure the computer tells on you if you've been driving when you shouldn't be driving, you know? And that's how trucking is now. It's getting that way. You know, they're talking about putting in self-driving trucks. You know, the drivers don't control that anymore, you know, and they're working on it. And there was a video, as a video I watched today, they're saying by 2030 that you'll see, you know, it getting pretty close to a lot of trucks getting out on the road being fully autonomous. And of course, what that plays in is as a truck driver, you know, what kind of field are you in as far as being able to control your destiny? And I'm not going to say that, you know, every truck driver's job is at stake. What I'm saying is that if you don't have a niche, you don't have that lane, if you don't have that job where the computer can't do your job, which is like, you know, driving in a certain area in a big city, or driving a certain kind of freight that's bigger or smaller or heavier, you know, things like that. So you just got to find that niche. You know, a lot of times, you know, we do the expedited stuff. You're not going to be able to get a self-driving truck doing expedited. It's not going to happen. You know, there's going to be problems coming along, you know, for a while. That's going to be down the road, you know. I mean, hell, man, they can't even get an airplane to take off on time sometimes. So imagine trying to get a self-truck out on the road in a timely manner. It's going to take a while. You know, it's not that easy. So yeah, it's not going to be, like I said, right away, but they're saying by 2030, there'll be a large number. There are already self-driving trucks with operators in the truck, but they don't drive the truck, and they're operating like to and from big cities. So like, I think there's one, they say that they do a regular run from like Phoenix to Dallas or Phoenix to LA. There's the company's based out of Arizona. And there's another one somewhere like up in Memphis or somewhere. They're doing some things, but it's very rare, and it's like, you know, still testing and all that stuff. But the trucks are out there on the road. The one I saw the video of, they were in the city of San Antonio driving, and then the other one was in Phoenix. So they're out there. They're just very few and far between. They're probably, you know, about 100 trucks running that are self-driving, but they have to have an operator in them. They're not completely autonomous. So the ones you see that have absolutely no cab, those aren't even on the highway yet. So, you know, those are still in testing and everything. So we'll see about all that. But yeah, but as far as representatives go, I think that's what we need, you know, to better control job loss as a truck driver. We're going to need more truck drivers in the elected positions of representatives to speak our mind and to come from the different opinion of the blue collar worker, because going to law schools and all that stuff like that, they don't have a clue. They don't know. So that's all I got to say about that. Cause they don't, we know they don't, you know, we know that, a lot of decisions they make hurt working people because, you know, they think it's going to do good. Just like the spending thing. They're talking about trying to, you know, build back better crap. You know, I mean, they say these Nobel Prize winning economists say that it'll do all this great stuff at the same time. No. Okay, don't give me that crap. Don't tell me that spending a bunch of money is going to save money or make the money more valuable. Don't do that. That's I'm not going to buy that. No, you ain't going to do anything. Making buying stuff with money you don't have is not going to suddenly spark, you know, this money making, you know, spur of growth where everybody's going to be great. It's that's not how it works. You know, you can make all the money you want. If there's no products to buy, then there's no money. You know, nobody's going to spend any money. You know, if you can, you can buy all the stuff you want on credit. If you don't work to pay off the debt, then it's all going to go away. It's all going to get taken away. So it's not, it doesn't matter. You know, people can try to tell me all the time about, you know, well, it's this big scale of the federal economy and, you know, the U.S. gross domestic product and all that. It's all different, and you can't look at it in a way like a, you can a household with income and bills and all that. No, yeah, you can. It's all the same. You got to make, you know, it's one of those things where you make money and you provide a skill, you provide a service, and you get paid for it. And then you take that money and spend it the best way you can to make things better for yourself. And I think if there were a lot more selfish people out here in the world, then this place would, the world would be probably a whole lot better, because everything somebody does is for them, you know, is for themselves. That, you know, everybody that's made the world a better place, Steve Jobs, what he did was for himself. Okay. He made himself a lot of money by doing great things. And he didn't even do great things. He was just the salesman. He wouldn't even, he says, hey, can we make it to where the computer is in your hand? And other people made that happen. You know, he just had a vision. That's all he had. You know, I mean, like, even like, what's his name? Elon Musk. He's like, you know, if we had this ability to do this, we could, you know, we could make these cars electric. I wonder how feasible we can do that. And other scientists and other investors said, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, I think somebody may know better than I did, but for a while there, Tesla wasn't even making any money. I don't think they make any money at all. All of their money, that the profit that they generate, goes back into research and development, which technically the company ain't making any money. You know, so when you say, you know, these corporations ain't paying tax, that's why they reinvest it. They do all that. So let's check out here. I think I've got one of our good friends calling in. Let's see what we got. Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey, good evening, Ed.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Hey, Facebook Live screwed up. I don't know if you've been reading the comments, but there's so much static on there you can't hear it.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta shut it off because it's just no good.
It's messed up.
The plug is messed up.
Yeah, I turned it. I looked at that scene where it was on. I turned it on. I couldn't take it. I turned it back off. I just figured call in, see if it was on here. It's clear on the radio, but Facebook Live screwed up. I don't understand. I mean, people can listen to it on Facebook Live, but they won't call in the radio. I mean, why don't you call in and listen then? I get it. Whatever.
You know, or you can go on to YouTube. See, we're on YouTube now, too. I'm streaming on YouTube as well. So, and it's hooked actually into the computer. So it's all that the Facebook, all it is I've got a cord running into a cell phone. And I guess the cord's bad or something's bad. It ain't doing right. So I have to figure that out. It might be because of the power. I don't know. It might be some kind of shielding, but yeah, but other than that, man, I tell you what, it's everything's going great on here. I got, you know, the computer running great, and the sound's great on my end, and like you're saying, the radio is doing good, and the Facebook live, but the YouTube live feed is good. So yeah, I think we're just gonna give up on Facebook, man. Facebook, they don't care about us anyway. So
Tiff said that YouTube's doing good. She went on YouTube. She said it sounds really good. It sounds really good on the radio, but yeah, that Facebook, it's. Well, Facebook's jacked up anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, they're going to change their name and everything. So, yeah, just forget about Facebook.
I think we need to go from let's go Brandon to let's go Zuckerberg.
Yeah, right. The president of NASCAR has condemned the phrase, go Brandon.
Screw him. Ain't nobody gives a shit about him on NASCAR anymore.
Well, Glenn Beck says, what's he got against Brandon? it's like he must hate Brandon.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I tell you what, man, these people, you know, just like the other day, so I'm a big movie guy, and I like the MCU, you know, with Captain America and Iron Man and all that, and they got a new movie coming out, and the new movie came out this weekend, and so the weird thing is that they have a character in there that he is openly gay, and he has a husband with a child. Okay, that's fine. Live how you want to live. You don't have to throw it in my face, but that's fine. But the funny thing is that the Muslim countries has outlawed the showing of that movie because of that, because in the Muslim countries, that's against the law. So they won't show that movie. And then Angelina Jolie, who's in the movie, says that those countries are ignorant.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. That might be here. Yep, that's it. But anyway, she called him ignorant. So the Twitter blue check marks kind of said, "How dare you call you're a Islamophobic because you don't like Muslims because you don't like them because they won't show that movie." It's like, but you don't think that they're bad because they don't like gay people? I don't understand. I thought that you're supposed to like gay people. I thought that was the deal. So, but yeah, it's like they don't know what to do. They don't know. They're kind of torn. You know, do I go against the people that hate gay people, or do I go against the people that are calling Muslim countries ignorant? What do I do? I don't know what to
do. Take me. I don't give a damn. I hate everybody equally. If you're an idiot, you're an idiot.
Well, that's what it is.
I don't give a damn who you are, what color you are, black, red, pink, green, yellow. I don't care. Gay, straight. I don't care. I hate you equal.
Yep. Well, you know, Hollywood's that way. They hate you, but they want to be you because they know you make money and all that. What do you call? I was watching the news and I was flipping around, and of course, Fox News is covering, like, you know, the climate summit and Joe Biden screwing up and the elections and all that. But when you flip over to MSNBC, what they're covering is they're covering that Rittenhouse trial, and they're covering that shooting, the Alec Baldwin thing. And what they keep telling people is, like, see, this accidental shooting, we need more gun control. And I was like, now, wait a minute. The lack of the firearm safety training that you supposedly think that we should have, you didn't have that in your Hollywood movie elitist program. Which you would have had more training and more knowledge of firearms, and that wouldn't have happened. But, you know.
Well, when they talk about all the pistols, all the toy pistols and stuff that was being made there for a while, and they put an orange tip on the end of them so you could distinguish them between the real gun and the toy gun, right? So why don't Hollywood go buy a bunch of these cheap-ass plastic pistols, pull the orange tip off the end of them, and use them? Why they got to use real guns?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. They should be able to use them cat pistols. I think that would probably make it more realistic, because we look at when we watch a movie and it's got Alec Baldwin in it and it's got him shooting a gun, it's like, well, we know he doesn't do that in real life. So, you know, him shooting
the cat pistol. Yeah, it's kind of hypocritical, eh? More
realistic. Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah, well, you see that all the time. You see people, you know, screaming about. That's what one guy, they made a movie. It was on one of the streaming services, and there's these women, they're trying to buy guns, and they go to this gun show, and they're trying to buy a gun. And the guy's like, you know, is this gun right here? Have you seen the John Wick movie? And they're like, no, I haven't seen that. And he goes, well, this gun right here, once you see John Wick, the best advertisement for a gun is a John Wick movie. As soon as he picks up that gun and starts shooting, this gun right here doubles in price.
Yeah. Well, listen, look at all the old cowboy movies, all the movies that was made back in the, you know, since the beginning up until recently. They used guns. They used blanks. They used the real thing. Nobody ever got killed with them. You never heard anything about anybody getting shot with them until this. You know, Alec Baldwin, you know. Karma. That's all I can say. All come around to you.
Yep. Somebody put a picture on Facebook. It had a picture of Michael Landon And it said he filmed over 200 episodes of Bonanza and shot didn't shoot one single person.
Yep, no one got shot.
Yep.
Nope. Gun went bang, the man fell down. The next scene, they was at the bar drinking beer.
That's right. Yep. That's how it goes. Yep.
Now,
just like the TV show that we're all loving right now, this Yellowstone. I tell you what, I don't know if you've watched all the episodes or not, but man, I tell you what, there's a lot of shooting going on in that one.
Yeah. Oh boy, I missed all of it. I didn't. She tried to get me to watch it when first come on. I said, man, I ain't got time for that. I got work. And I didn't watch it. Well, then she got me to watch it, and I started watching it the other night, and I got interested in it. Now I've been binge watching them, trying to get caught up since I've been home.
Yeah.
So I'm down to like six episodes, and I'll be caught up with this season. So, interesting movie. But good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yep.
Yeah. I just had to go outside a little bit ago because I got ticked off in here. I was trying to watch it. The TV screwed up, and the sound system shut off, and they did shut us out. And I said, no, man, I've had it.
Yep. Let's see who else is on here. I think this is – the other line. Who's this calling over here? This other Ohio number.
Man, I'm just sitting in the living room.
Yeah, there you go. See, man, I tell you what, golly. Hey, Taylor Barker, we sure do appreciate you providing us with an outlet so that we can talk to each other in the same house.
Yeah. I don't know why she got to talk. She sat in there and listened to me. I'm in the dining room. She's in the living room. What's up with that?
What's up with that? You can't even feed back or anything. Yep. Yeah, I got the I got the Yellowstone on. It's muted right now. I can see it, but like I said, it ain't started yet. Yeah, it's still, but it's currently playing. If anybody's watching or had been watching Paramount, it's currently playing the last episode of season 3 right now. And then it'll play the new season at 7 o'clock Central. So I had to get caught up too. I kind of forgot. I forgot what went on those last couple episodes, so I had to do that. So I went ahead and broke down and got it on the Peacock so that I can watch it whenever. So
just remember, he hasn't watched the last few episodes, so he can't know what's going on because they'll throw him off.
Yeah.
It'll make no difference. It don't take much to throw me off. Get me off.
Yep.
This is true.
Have you seen Teeter come in there yet?
Peter.
Yeah,
no.
Teeter.
The girl with the pink hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, the actress, that's Michael Landon's daughter. It's Jen Landon.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I never realized that.
On actually the Paramount app, so not Paramount Plus, but the Paramount app, the actual channel app. I was able to stream some of the old episodes on there. I don't think you can do that anymore on that one. I'll have to go check it out. But they had some behind the scenes stuff on that, and they have this regular deal where those bunkhouse guys, the actual ranch hands, they do like a little sit down talk about each episode. Like they say, you know, so what do you think? What do you think the story's going to go and all that? And they sit there and talk, and the guy Jimmy. He's an internet guru. He does like a blog and all kind of stuff. So he's always on Twitter or something doing something and so he'll bring in people on there and talk about them. They'll bring in special guests that they had. One of the guys that started out as a ranch hand, he was actually some of the actors play on as ranch hands. Like one of the guys, he was an old cowboy. Rodeo guy that knew Taylor Sheridan, the creator, and he says, "Hey, you want to come on here and help me train these horses and help me train these actors to ride these horses?" So he was doing that, and he says, "Hey, we need a fill-in spot. You need to come over here and be one of these agents." So he dressed up as one of those cattle agents, and then he said, "You know," they said, "Hey, he's good. You know, he's good with the horses, and he's good with the firearms, and he's, you know, he takes direction and all that, so he's pretty good." And next thing you know, he's one of the regulars. I forgot what his character's name is, but he's not only a cattle cattle commissioner agent, but he's also one of the ranch hands on there. So So he's a regular guy, but he's a regular cowboy. He's not an actor. He just now an actor because of that. And even the old man that's in there, he used to be a cowboy back in the day. He's one too. He's got some good sayings. Every now and then he'll come up with. But yeah, it's a good show. And it's, like I said, it's good details when they dive into that. The Bloomberg trailers, the cattle trailers that they use, that the pickups pull, those goosenecks, those are made in Salado, Texas. I drive by their factory right there, and their dealership is right on Interstate 35. I drive by there every night. It's Salado, Texas right there. That's where they make those Bloomberg trailers. And the creator of the show, he's from Bosque County, Texas, is Taylor Sheridan. If anybody doesn't know what he looks like, he played a character that just came in. He was visiting or whatever, but he was the deputy in like the first two seasons of Sons of Anarchy. If you haven't seen that show, he's the actual guy. He was the actual sheriff. He's the actor that played that. And he was just, he's the old cowboy that wanted to become an actor, and he was kind of, I guess he moved to California to be a stuntman / horse trainer or whatever. And he wrote a bunch of stuff. So now every time you see something, it says, from the guys that brought you Yellowstone, and he's a writer, producer, whatever. So yeah, he's out there. Something else. It's always cool how that stuff goes. I don't know. I like that stuff. What's that?
I've been watching. I've been watching. I mean, it's a good show, but I'm thinking, it just makes me think more and more about somebody needs to just get a hold of Biden and take him to the train station. That's what they need to do with him.
Well, you know what? Hey, the Clintons, they might know exactly where that train station is.
Yeah, they're about ready to get there.
They probably took a lot of people of their, themselves. They probably got their own version of the train station over there in that little office of theirs in New York City somewhere. But yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Marine that stopped a robbery up in South Dakota or somewhere. I forgot where it was, but it was on video. The guy came in with a firearm, and he grabbed that gun and slung his arm and hit him in the head and knocked him down. But he was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer or somebody. Yeah, because Dana Perino was talking to him and everything, and he was like, "Well, you're great, and we appreciate you, and thanks for coming on." And he was like, "Yeah, thank you." And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. That's what he said when he left.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
But yeah, that's all I got going on right now. I was going to step away, take a little break, and was going to come back. I've got more stuff about the mandate, the vaccine mandate, seeing how that goes. Yeah, they came down the pipe on Thursday, so we'll holler at that a little bit. And whoops, that wasn't supposed to happen. See, that's what my technical difficulties do for me every now and then. When I get to talking and I don't even think about what's going on. Where am I at?
If you don't know, nobody else does.
Nope, I don't know. There we go. There you go. That's it right there. Hey, we want to thank Trucker Tools, man. Trucker Tools, they're one of our big supporters, and we want to make sure we send a shout-out to them. They're that all-in-one app that truckers can get where they can download and follow, where they can book freight, find a Walmart, find a truck stop, find a fuel stop, all that kind of good stuff. And it's all in one app. You download it, go to the App Store, you download that stuff, and you can check that out at truckertools.com. And they also got some news and insights on how to get things going as far as like booking freight and the rates and stuff like that. So we really do appreciate those guys doing that stuff. And make sure when you when you talk to the people at Trucker Tools or give them a review, let them know how you like using the app, and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we do appreciate them. And like I said, don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel over there. And if you were on Facebook, still like us on Facebook, but just don't follow the videos on there. All the videos are on YouTube. Go to YouTube, check those out. So, yeah, just hang tight. We're going to take a little break. Come right back to the Redneck and Eyes Radio.
County judge tried to rob me blind. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off my mind. Now I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line. I rolled on down to Memphis, I had nothing left to lose. Wanted to hear some rock and roll, but all they played was blues. I didn't want to hear no blues. I went to call up Elvis, Roger Miller grabbed the phone. He said, drive that 18-wheeler, boy, you're the king of the road. Said, I'm the king of the road. But them big wheels of rubber gone the rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line. I'm a highway junkie man and I need that old white line.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride. The open highway is your reign. Ten poor little buckaroo and happy trails to you. Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride.
Now you're the bandit on the run. Not a bad guy, just having fun.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. You can check us out. We're on. We're live streaming on YouTube right now. And we'd be happy to check us out there. It'd be great. Our YouTube channel is just us taking this. We record these shows and then cut them up into our different segments, and then we put them out on YouTube for everybody to watch and enjoy, and hopefully share and you know, either learn or teach, or you know, just provide some kind of good hope for the trucking industry. That's what we're trying to do, is you know, make trucking better for truckers. And make truckers, we're just truckers helping truckers be better truckers. And we're hoping that everybody out there can just, you know, share the information we got. And we talk about things, maybe share some ideas and see what things think about. So like I said, go to YouTube, check that out. You can get a lot of links at redneckandeyes.com. Check that out. We got links to all of our sponsors and all of our media accounts on there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. So what happened was is we had a vaccine mandate come down. Of course, that affects the entire United States. It's like a OSHA mandate from, the office of OSHA, which is, what is that called? Occupational Safety Health Administration. So, you know, they've got rules about, you know, how tall a ladder can be and, you know, how, what do you call it? You know, what do you, guardrails on stairs or eye wash stations and, you know, stuff like that. Well, they've come down and said that any company that has more than 100 employees is going to be mandated that all the people either get vaccinated or require weekly testing. Now, there's been a lot of different rules and a lot of different interpretations. And what happened was is that if you look at all the media accounts, all the Freight Waves, CDL Life, what's the other one? Just Landline and all those. They all say that there is no exemption for truck drivers. Truck drivers are going to have to do this if they work for a company and all that. But the other thing too is I was talking to an owner of a truck fleet today, but what happens also is that you go to a shipper and the shipper gives you a list of their rules and their rules might say that you have to be mandated to be vaccinated because OSHA says they got to have everybody coming into their facility vaccinated, which, you know, that's not something that could happen. These customers, sometimes they don't think straight. You know, when we were all in this big anti-idling thing, if you went on to a facility and they said you can't idle, it didn't matter. They didn't care. They didn't care that you had people in the truck, that there were more than one person in the truck, one driver was sleeping or whatever. They didn't care that you had pets or whatever. They said, you can't idle, no idling. You know, then down the line, they had to learn. And they had to say, you know what, if there's somebody in the truck or if it's above a certain level of temperature or whatever, yeah, okay, you can idle. You know, that didn't happen for, 6 months to a year. So you might see this come down. Now, a judge has already slapped an injunction saying they can't enforce it until January 4th, which is, you know, normal thing. What it is, OSHA is like, hey, to me, I thought, my personal opinion is OSHA told Biden and all those politicians, hey, we don't have the manpower to be able to enforce this. So, you know, we're probably not going to be able to enforce it at all. So just give everybody a little time so that, you know, if they need to get things in order, because we can't start going out there right now writing citations because we ain't got the manpower. Because if anybody knows anything, it's that OSHA is a joke. Okay. They don't get out there as much as they should, just like DOT. But the exemption thing is what I was wanting to talk about, because the labor secretary got on MSNBC and he said this. He said,
it is a choice. And you know, and a lot of people, I mean, we've heard some pushback from some truckers today. And the ironic thing is most truckers aren't covered by this because they're driving a truck. They're in a cab. They're by themselves. They wouldn't be covered by this. People working outside. I heard some construction industries push back on this. A lot of construction's outside, again, in an open environment, a lot different. So I would suggest that, you know, as we think about this moving forward, you know, when the president announced this in September, we were having high levels of Delta variant at that particular moment. Lots of people were getting sick. You know, people were dying, and they still are every day today in America. But he put he recommended or ordered, I guess, whatever you want to call it, that myself and OSHA, we come up with a standard. We did. A lot of work went into it. A lot of thought went into it. And I feel that, you know, I feel that it's a good, well thought out plan here. And we're gonna hopefully get some positive feedback, but more importantly, some positive results from it.
So that sounds to me like a guy's in over his head. I don't know. Just seems like he's kind of, you know, well, you know, the guy told me he needed, well, you know, what do you want to call it? What, he ordered it? What is it? What did he do? You know? And then, of course, he's stammering and stuttering because he doesn't know what to say, you know, because he kind of wants to tell everybody, hey, listen, this is coming down the pipe and you suck it up, you know? Or, you know, he needs, and like what he said, truckers are exempt. Most truckers are exempt because of the rule of them being by themselves or being outside. And so what I'm worried about here is that there is no specific rule that says CDL holders out there on the road are exempt. There's no exemption in that. There might be some exemptions for like working outdoors, but technically, what does that mean? Working outdoors, you know, if I'm in a vehicle with another person, does that takes away that if I run team, then I technically got to be vaccinated, even though the other driver might be my spouse, you know, so that stuff like that ain't gonna, you know, I don't know how it's gonna work. Is it gonna be where they're gonna, you know, like I said, they're just not gonna be able to do it. They're just not gonna be able to enforce it. And I don't know of any carriers. If anybody out there knows, let me know. But I don't know of any carriers that are out there saying, hey, we're going to be mandated vaccinations. That's what we're going to do. So I don't know. Let's bring Greg back on. Hey, Greg, so what do you think? You think this guy's just, you know, he's just over his head. He don't know what he's doing, does he?
No. Oh, I'm waiting, man. I'm waiting for some of this mandated. They're gonna mandate the vaccination. I'm like, well, I'm ready for early retirement anyhow. I'm gonna bring mine home, park it, and that's gonna be the end of it.
Yeah. I was talking to one of our other good friends, and he said that a lot of his customers, the customers aren't really doing anything. You know, of course, he's in the Midwest over there. You know, with the Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, Colorado, Minnesota, Illinois, and the only places that are really pushing it are the ones in the big cities. They're the only ones that are really, really concerned. So if you're delivering to these plants and facilities that are out there and, you know, in the working world, they're not really worried about it, I don't think. But it's all of these big happy companies. I don't know. You go to these like, what do they call them? The UAW guys. You know, are they as worried about it as the government is? I don't think so, are they?
I don't know. I haven't been into too many of the automotive plants because GM just opened up first in November, I think, again, because it was down because of microchips and stuff, you know, and processors. But these little companies, well, they're not little. Some of them, you know, pretty good-sized companies. But for the most part, everywhere I've been picking up, you know, parts and stuff going, you know, to them and going to their warehouses, the employees there are wearing masks, but they're not really riding us or forcing us to. I've been walking in and out with one and get my pills, paperwork, and I haven't had any trouble, which is a good thing, because the first time they tell me to put a mask on, it'd be just like the last person that told me, yeah, you got to have a mask to come in here. I say, okay, well, when you get done, bring my paperwork out to the truck. I'll be outside. Because I'm not wearing it. I'm not putting a mask on. I'm not being dictated to no more. I've had 2 years of it. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done with it too. I tell you what, there's I mean, nobody's told me anything like that. I mean, the only place that's really had me, you know, that they actually stress or they recommend, they please wear a mask. We recommend it, please, is the gym. And that's the worst one. It's like, well, here I am breathing heavy, you know, and all that, and you want me to strap a mask on. But the other thing is wiping down the equipment. They want you to wipe down all the equipment. They want you to carry around these spray bottles and all that. And I was like, I'm done with it. You know, that we have.
No. That's not my job. It's not my business. My business. I pay you to come in here and use your equipment. Yeah, you don't pay me to come in here and clean too.
Well, I mean, like we used to. You wipe them down. You wipe all your nasty, you know, when you were dripping sweat, wipe them down. And then just walk away. Well, now they give you all the sanitation stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll wipe it down and I'll get rid of all of anything that I messed up or whatever, but I'm not going to clean the thing every time I use it. You know, I'm not going to actually, you know, scrub it. I'll wipe it down. You know, I got a dry towel. I wipe it down, make sure it's not, you know, nothing in there dripping, you know, when you got the handrails and all that stuff, you just, you know, yeah. Okay. Make sure nothing's wet and that's it. I'm done, man. I don't have to. I don't have to spray the whole thing down with Lysol every time I use it. I don't have to do that.
Yeah, I'm done with all this nonsense. I ain't doing it. Like I said, they start that again. That's like OSHA. You know, OSHA, go to hell. You know, you know the ones that's causing all the problems are the union companies. That's where the problem's at, the unions.
There you go.
You know, yep. It's just like that bullshit out there in California, Ed. We went over it and over it and over it and over it. Yeah, there's not a shortage of trucks. It's California Air Resources Board, and it's some unions out there at the ports. You know, you're not allowed to have any independent drivers in there. You can't have anybody in there. If you're not union, you can't go in there. Right there is where your problem's at.
That's right.
Right there is where your problem's at. You got all these trucks running around out here, but none of them's allowed in there unless they're union. Well, you only got so many union drivers. Now they're telling them they've got to be, you know, they're trying to make them get vaccinated or whatever, or they're out. So they're not, and then they're blaming it on the drivers. They can't do nothing unless they got the containers out there. I don't want to hear this BS about them not having enough container chassis. Hold it a minute.
How many
flatbeds and stuff's running around out there? Now, I got my differences with Landstar, but Landstar, I know a lot of their flatbeds, if not most of them, and their step decks, drop decks and stuff, has all got container locks on them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why in the hell do they need a chassis to move a container out of there? Anybody that's got a flatbed or a step deck that's got container locks on it can haul a container.
Yeah, they even have like some of the step decks. They've got those what do they call them, the braces or the where they can, you know, if it needs to be longer, well, they can put them down below where the trailer becomes level, and then they can haul, you know, a 50-footer if they needed to, you know.
Right.
There's ways to do it. Just you know, just like what you're talking about. If they really want to move those containers, there's trucks to move them. They got to call them in there. But like you saying, the union says no, you can't come in here unless it's a union truck. And of course,
exactly
all that. In fact,
it's not the drug industry or nobody else holding this country hostage. It's the government and the unions. Why is it the unions? Because the unions backed Biden. They're the ones that voted for Biden. Maybe not all their union members. Maybe not all the members backed him. But the union reps herself voted for Biden. So therefore, there was big money thrown his way. There's where the problem is.
Well, so
get control of the unions, and you'll get control of the damn government and everybody else.
CNBC had an interesting video talking about that, because what they were complaining about is that you can't control trucking like you control the ships. See, the ships, they're easy to control. The reason why the shipping, you know, like the ports and the ships, they're easy to control because the top 10 companies that move freight by ship, those top 10 companies, that's 85% of the overall shipping industry. Is the top 10 companies do 85% of it. In trucking, the top 10 companies only account for 12% of the trucking industry. So about 90%, almost 90% of the industry in trucking is either independent owner operators or small fleets. And those are the ones that are not allowed to go into the ports. Those small independents and those small carriers, those are the ones that get pushed out of the ports, especially on the East and West Coast, where the unions are in very much control of those in and out of those ports. And that's the way it is.
Well, that being said, you know, just like when there's a tornado or whatever, and they make fun of everybody the left board or whatever, but they go out for a tornado. They go out when there's a tornado, and they go to a trailer park, and they find the dumbest, stupidest-looking hillbilly jacked-up fool that there is in that park, no teeth, the hair all messed up, tore up clothes, and that's who they interview.
Right.
Okay? And everybody thinks, oh, yeah. Well, now just like the other day, they interviewed that trucking company down there in Mississippi. Can't remember what name it was now. But the CEO of whatever this trucking company. Now, he had how many trucks on the road that they had? And he said, what was it? 45. He had 45 trucks sitting empty.
Yeah, total transportation. And he had over 900
total transportation.
Trucks. Yep, over 900 trucks in the fleet, and he had 47 empty, and he said it was the worst he'd ever seen.
Cry me a river. Who in the hell does he expect to hear believe that?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, I seen that, and I thought, where did they find this jack wagon? You know, what's this? This is why this must be one of the CNN companies, you know.
And you know what? He's one of the 90%. I mean, his 900 trucks. That's a really small fleet. When you look it up with, you know, I mean, the guy on the video, he actually mentioned Knight Swift. Knight Swift is the largest company in the United States. And
right.
And what did he say? They did 4.7 billion. No, that company is worth 4.7 billion. They did 800 million in sales in 2020, or 800 million in revenue in 2020. The company's worth 4.7 billion. And that's
right.
And the now, thing is,
like I said, now with the amount of trucks that Swift and Knight has running, okay, now they're worth that much money. How much money did that company make per capita, per truck? Per truck, every truck that they got running, every truck that they own, period, that they've got licensed and registered, if they pay, again, just like we got into it last week, I think it was, if they pay their $22.90s for each one of them trucks, which is $550, how much money is that right there in a year's time for every truck that they own just in one company?
Yeah, I mean.
Just in one company.
Right.
Now that's just a small portion of what's out there. Now, if every truck out here has to pay $550 to run on the highways, where in the hell is the loss? Why in the hell is our roads and stuff and bridges and stuff the way they are? Who's putting it in their pocket? Where is it going? I don't want to hear that. I don't think that these big companies, I don't know what kind of deal they got going, but I don't know how in the hell they can afford to pay $550 per truck for every truck they got on the road. How many millions of dollars would that be a year? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out how many trucks Swift had. I really don't know. It might be in the 20,000 range.
And at $550 per truck, look at the money just a year just off that one company. And you got Landstar. Well, Landstar's got, well, that they're all, most was supposed to be all owner-operators, independents, Mercer the same way. But then you got J.B. Hunt, you got Snyder, you know, the list goes on and on and on, you know. I mean, up in these trucks, it's got, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks running around.
Yeah, no, I mean,
are they paying $550 for each for every truck that they own, or are they getting some kind of a sweetheart deal from the government to where they're only paying a portion of that because they got so many trucks, or are they giving them exemptions from some of that too, like they do everything else?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that $550, that's probably pretty cheap when you consider one truck. But when you consider multiple trucks in a big, huge fleet, that $550, they're getting off easy, in my opinion. You know,
But like I said, it's no more than fair that they, it don't matter if they got a hundred or a thousand or one. If it's $550 for us, it should be $550 for them for every truck that they own or every truck that they've got registered to them.
Yep. No,
I don't think that they're paying that.
Well, they might not be. And you know what? I know they're not paying. I know they're not paying what we're trying to get, that they're trying to get it removed, which is that excise tax on buying a new truck, which is what, $12,000? I don't think those big companies, when they buy new trucks, I don't think that they're paying that, filtering all their stuff through dealerships, and they're all getting them at a super discount anyway.
And I'll tell you how to put a grip on them again, too. Take off all that self-insured shit off. Make them get insurance. Make them pay insurance just like everybody else pays insurance to an insurance company. Let them find out what the real world is like. No. You ain't going to pay for every time you pay an accident. You ain't going to take it out of your pocket and pay them. You know, you let that stuff all run downhill. Let that turd roll downhill and land in your lap like it does everybody else. Because as long as they're self-insured, they can pay the accident off or whatever, the insurance claim, they can pay it off and leave them same drivers in there, and then there ain't no recourse about it.
Well, you know, when you, so building on that right there, you're talking about what they're getting away with, and a lot of things is that, you know, they're if they had to actually pay the premiums, and then they don't get any benefit from that, they lose money. Just like as an owner operator, you're paying the premium. Well, you don't get any of that money back. You don't pay a premium for a year and say, oh, you didn't have any accidents, so we're going to give you that money back. You don't do that. Well, and if you're self-insured, which means that you don't have, as long as you don't have an accident, pay any money. That's what
you're
self-insured
right.
And that's why they're so hard on drivers about having accidents, because as long as they don't have any accidents, man, they don't lose a dime on
exactly.
Right. But, you know, they do have accidents. So, yeah, but you're right. They get away with that. And then, like you're saying, they use their own money, which is, you know, which in turns it's like, okay, you got to have money. So that means they got to have money. They can't just operate, but they, you know, that they're borrowing money. It's all filtered through the banks and all that stuff. So they get a loan and then pay the loan back. It's all numbers game, that stupid crap. But then what they do is they pay people to deal with that accident right away and get it cleared. So if you're a victim of one of their accidents, I mean, they're the worst ones. That's why you see the big lawyers out there. If you got hurt by a big truck, what they're counting on is you got hurt by a Swift truck or a Schneider truck, because they're going to go after those trucking companies. They're not going after an insurance company. They're going on after a trucking company. But because there's not, I mean, as far as it goes, you know, like just said here, 90% of the truckers out there are all either owner operators or small fleets. Those are the ones that are getting hurt from those lawyers, because that's mm-hmm. who's going after them. Now, with that being said, with all this stuff that they're cheating, how many of these owner operators out here that are leased onto a carrier right now that are dealing with the actual carrier's fuel card and are paying pump price and are actually making money for that carrier buying fuel? How many times have we seen that happen to where the carrier says, hey, use our fuel card. You can buy fuel with our fuel card. But if you buy fuel at the pump price, but I'm actually going to pay, you know, the cost plus deal, but I don't pass that cost plus on to you. You pay the pump price. And how many of them right. actually know? How many actually know that they're getting okay. the pump price, or that they're getting screwed on that deal? And right. I found out that the hard way at Swift, they were telling us you only pay the pump price. Now, we prefer you to go to in-network fueling, which is the TAs and the Flying J's, pilots and all that. But you can right. go wherever you want, and you pay the pump price. Well, what we found out was the pump price was always cheaper at the Love's. So Swift trucks, you always see them fueling up at the Love's, because Love's was always the cheapest pump price. If you were at an area where there were five truck stops and there was a Love's and a pilot and a TA, the Love's was probably cheaper, you know, 3 to 5, 10 cents maybe. I don't know. Never know. So you see Swift trucks lined up over there with the pump price. Well, Swift was actually getting a deal through pilot and TA. So what they said was, hey, you know what? We're not making any money off that fuel card. So we're going to not let these drivers shop where they want to shop. We're going to tell them they got to buy fuel where we tell them to buy fuel. So they said, you know what? We're going to shut the card off everywhere except the TAs and the pilots. You can't get fuel anywhere you want except as long as it's a TA or a pilot. And the drivers went crazy. You know, the owner operator said, hey, we want to be able to get fuel where we want. We want to pay the pump, because we're paying the pump price, you know, and all that. Well, so a lot of drivers thought, you know, hey, we should sue. They can't do that. And, of course, we found out, no, they can. They can do whatever they want. It's their fuel card. So
right.
So what you got to do as an owner operator, you got to get your own fuel card. You know, if you're not getting, right. you know, it's all about your deal. If you're getting a bad deal, you know, just like an owner operator doing anything else, if you're getting screwed by a shipper, you're getting screwed by a broker, you're getting screwed by a carrier and their fuel card, you gotta find a way to get your own fuel card.
Yeah, you just go into Lowe's and tell them, look, you need to open that fuel card up so I can get some fuel here. Your damn load's going to be late. That's the way it is.
Yeah. And
what do you want to do? You want to hold me hostage on a fuel card, or you want to get your load on time, or do you want your customer raising hell with you because they didn't get their load?
Well, you know, the funny thing is they did that on a Friday, and Monday morning their phones went crazy, and they said, okay, we're not going to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, because
that's what I'm saying. You just, hey, no, you can't fill up a load. Well, I'm sitting in a load. I need fuel. I'm out of fuel.
Right, right.
Well, and, we can't get fuel there. Well, then your load ain't going to get where it's supposed to be. I'm going to sit right here. You know, you got leverage. You just got to use it. Now, the company I'm with, they don't, you know, I don't get a big return off the pump, right? I pay pump price with their card, unless I want to use my own card, you know, my own credit card or whatever. But, you know, we've checked into our fuel, our own personal fuel card, and it's just like, you know, it ain't, right now, I just don't want the aggravation. I'm too long into it, you know, and time you figure your IFTA and all that. If I'm going to do that, then I'm going to go out and get full authority and be done with it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it is too. It's about controlling your IFTA. You got to send in receipts and do that. There's a lot of services out there that'll do it for you, but you got to pay for that too. So doing it yourself takes a lot of time, and you know, some carriers. I remember carriers they would say, if you use your own fuel card, just make sure you send us the receipts, and that way we'll figure the IFTA, you know, and all that. But yeah, you're right. It all boils down to, you know, personal preference and everything. But you know what we've seen over the years is, I mean, Schneider does it too, where they'll share that discount they get. They say, hey, you know, hey, we get like a, you know, cost plus. So like cost plus is a lot of fuel stops will, like a Comdata or the TCH, whatever, you know, they give the deals and they say, hey, if you go to TA, then we'll sell you the fuel cost plus a penny or cost plus a nickel. And so when the carrier says, well, they're giving it to us at cost plus a nickel, we'll give it to you at cost plus 6 cents, you know, that, and that might be good for you. But unless you've found another fuel card that will give it to you at cost plus one or cost plus a nickel, whatever. So it's all about, you know, what's going on with that. But, there's a lot of different programs that do that. And like I said, it's hard work. You know, guys that have the,
you know,
they're always looking at fuel prices.
Well, it's like, you know, all right, a few years ago when these big companies started bitching at FMCSA and the government and everything about the speed limiters. They wanted the trucks all governed at, 65 mile an hour because they wanted to, quote, you know, level the playing field. Because
their
trucks couldn't run 70 mile an hour. They had to govern their trucks at 65 so they could run in and out of Canada and appease Canada. So they wanted everybody to run 65 mile an hour because it wasn't fair that their trucks had to run 65, but the owner-operators down here could run 70, 75, 80 mile an hour, whatever they wanted to run.
Yep.
Oh, no. We wanted 65. Level the playing field, okay? You asses, you want to level the playing field? Here's the way I want to level the playing field. Knock off them fuel discounts. Make these big companies pay the same pump price at the pump just like we have to pay it. Don't get no big discounts from these chains. They pay the same price. Everybody pays the same price for that fuel. If that fuel is $4 cash price is $4 at the pump, then that's what it should be for everybody straight across the board. Straight across the board. Because the Landstar is a good one. They get a big discount.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of these companies do. Okay, so when we're paying $3.50 $3.50 a gallon, they may only be paying $2 and something a gallon.
Right, right.
Now, to me, that's not a level playing field.
And so here's what happened. So a guy, one of the old guys that was running that National Association of Small Trucking Companies, what's it called, like NASTIC or whatever. He was at the truck show one time, and we were talking about fuel cards, and one of the other drivers just asked him, says, how come fuel is like that? How come it's always expensive, and then you got to go find a card to give you a deal? And he said the reason why was because Flying J sold out. Flying J used to be its own refinery, made its own fuel. All the Flying J's back in the day, Flying J truck stops had their own gas and their own diesel fuel, and they would sell it dirt cheap, and everybody had to sell it cheap. And you couldn't – everybody – all the diesel fuel back in the day was so cheap because Flying J made their own and sold it cheap, and everybody else had to follow suit because you couldn't compete. You know, Flying J would just be selling
– I'm not buying that.
No?
But no, because for the simple fact that, yes, there was a lot of Flying J's that popped up here, right there back in the, what, the 80s?
80s, yeah.
All right. There was a lot of Flying J's that popped up. But they were still smaller. They were still one of the smallest truck chains, one of the smallest fuel chains out there, truck stops out there. Pilot, when they first started, Pilot was the same way. Pilot was one of was the cheapest fuel you could get on the interstate. Pilot was it, man. It was the cheapest there was.
Yep.
But then you had the TAs, you had the 76. You know, TA was about your biggest one. Well, 76 was the biggest one. Then you had the TA, and then Pilot come along, and then Flying J, you know, and then they just kept snowballing. But when 76 TA went in, and they tried to corner the market, they bought all the 76s out. So now all your 76 fuel stops went to truck stops of America. Okay, they bought them. All right, then here come Pilot. So Pilot comes into the picture. And then here comes Flying J. And then they want to blame Flying J for making their own fuel and selling it dirt cheap, and that's why the rest of them had to... Yeah, like somebody's going to drive 100 miles out of the way just to find a Flying J to get cheap fuel?
I mean, you were traveling the East Coast. I was running back in the late 90s. I was running out there in the West Coast. There were a lot of guys. All they had was an ATM card, and every time that they bought fuel, they'd go to the ATM machine at the Flying J because they could get the Flying J at the cash price. That was the cheapest, you know, that's the cheapest they could get it, and it was dirt cheap. And that was when it was what, 90 cents a gallon, you know, or 95 cents a gallon, whatever it was, and everything. And I somewhat believed him. And I think some of what he was saying had a lot to do with the people running the companies too. And I think what happened too was there right around the late 90s, early 2000s, everybody kind of just sold out to big corporations, and the big corporations were like, you know, hey, who's in control of the gas or the fuel prices? Well, it's not Joe Blow sitting at his ranch trying to just make a little money, not trying to screw everybody. He's not in charge anymore. Okay, the board of directors says, hey, I don't care who we screw, let's make money. You know, I mean, that's pretty much how it is. So yeah, I mean, I can.
Well, I think Jenny Hamlin's already proved that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can raise the price whenever they want. You know. I mean, Biden's over there calling up Saudi Arabia. Can you please produce oil so we can bring our gas down? It's like, dude, you killed the pipeline and told everybody to shut the pumps off over here in America, and then you go over there to the Saudi Arabia and beg for them to produce oil. We don't need their oil.
Exactly.
We got gas prices. We can keep gas prices low by producing our own oil. That's how you keep gas prices.
It's all planned.
Yep. Yep.
It's all planned. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal, is that the trucking company, the trucking industry, the guy in the video says the trucking industry cannot be controlled as easily as the shipping industry can. The trucking companies, there are too many owner-operators, and they control the market, the owner-operators.
The trucking industry, the owner-operators ain't controlling shit. If they was, they would stick together and they'd shut this shit down and get it straightened out.
But I told you.
The right hand won't go into what the left hand is doing.
I told you that. The one thing that the owner-operator industry, the owner-operators in the trucking industry, one thing, they are not united. They are not united.
You know why? At $2,700 to $3,000 a month truck payments, because these guys want to drive these big Kenworths and Peterbilts and shit. And they want these big shiny trucks to run around with $2,000 and $3,000 a month truck payments. They can't afford to shut the bastards off. Because if they do, they're broke in a month.
Right. Those guys can't afford to shut down. You know who else can't afford to shut down is the idiot that paid $20,000 for a piece of crap truck that he doesn't know anything about, and he's using zip ties to hold the mirror together, and he jumps out of the truck in his flip-flops and underwear and takes a load paying, you know, 50 cents on the dollar because he's just trying to make a paycheck.
Exactly.
That's the same guy. I mean, you know, those
– See, the thing on one of the news what's channels that? Today on Facebook, I've seen it, where they had a guy on there, him and his fiancé, black guy and his fiancé. You see it?
Yep. I shared it.
7 years. He's been driving trucks 7 years, and he's going to open up a trucking company, and he's going to tell everybody how to make money and show everybody how to run a how to truck. 7 years he's been driving. That boy don't know beans from bullshit about trucking in 7 years, and he's going to tell everybody else how to do it? God bless him. That's all I could say.
Well, there was two different people on there. So I was talking to our friend Pete about that earlier today, and I told him, I said, the one guy with his fiance, now he was, you know, he's dressed appropriately like a businessman.
Right.
He wants to open up a business. He looks good. He's going to walk into a bank. He's going to get a loan, whatever he needs, and people are going to, he's going to get customers, whatever. The other guy, you know, jumps out of the truck wearing his sandals with his gym shorts and a tank top, and he's got duct tape holding his fender mirror, you know, that ain't even
that.
And that guy's trying to go to his, you know, I mean, he's trying to talk people into doing his job, and I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere near that guy, and the companies that are trying to hire those drivers, they're not going to hire drivers. If you walk into a trucking company and you're wearing, you know, sandals and a tank top and gym shorts, they're going to tell you to turn around and leave. We don't even want to hear, you know. I mean, if you're at a hiring event and you drove a truck, and I mean, you see them all the time where, you know, they stop at the fuel stop, they stop at the fuel island, and they open up the truck to, you know, hopefully they've got a bag full of garbage that they're going to put in the trash can, but sometimes they don't do that. Sometimes it just falls out onto the ground, and, you know, and then they have to throw their slippers on the ground and so that they don't step in anything, but they don't even have shoes on or whatever. And it's like, those are the drivers that they don't want. That's why there's a driver shortage. Because it's like, if I see a driver like that, I'm not hiring that driver.
Well, yeah, but you go into the companies, you go into these shippers and everything anymore, and you go in there, you can go in there and have the nicest truck, man, one of the prettiest trucks on the highway. And everybody says, oh, appearance is everything. Appearance is everything. Nope. Rate is everything. When you go in there, you might tell them, yeah, I got a good-looking truck. I got almost a brand-new truck. And it could be all shiny wheels and chrome and shiny wheels, that's all good. Lit up, all pretty, man. Yeah, that's good. But then they ask you, well, you know, when you start negotiating a rate, well, what's your rate? Well, I want $2 a mile. Oh, well, wait a minute. This guy over here says that he'll do it for, you know, he'll do it for 80 cents a mile, 90 cents a mile.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a raggedy ass piece of shit. The fenders are flopping on. He's got duct tape holding his mirrors on. Bungee straps holding his steps on. The tires is bald as shit. You know? And he asked him, well, what are you doing? Right. 80 cents a mile. This guy will do it for 80 or 90 cents a mile, but I got to have $2 a mile because I got to keep my equipment up. This guy don't give a shit. They don't care about your truck. They don't care that you got flip-flops on.
That's exactly why this video, when they talked about how the independent truckers, the 90% that we're talking about, the independents and all those, they control the industry because they're so deregulated that there are way too many drivers that'll do it for less money. That's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. They don't care. These shippers don't care anymore. They're going to get their stuff moved as cheap as they can get it moved. They don't give a damn what your truck looks like or what you look like. As long as you can get it there So if they lose a load a week or something like that because of a record, so what? The average is against them, for them, in their favor, because they're still getting their stuff moved. What it cost them on that one load, they made up for it the last three or four. They can get two loads moved free for what you're charging them for one.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I'm even arguing with people saying that the supply chain crisis is kind of made up by the shippers saying, hey, why do I need to pay $3 a mile? If I just wait a week, I can do it for $1 a mile, you know?
Exactly. Why?
So yeah, they're letting stuff sit on the dock because, you know, they call a guy and he says, hey, I'll do it, but I want $3 a mile. They're like, nah, we ain't doing it for that. We'll get somebody else. And they'll let it sit.
Friday night on the way in, I stopped at the Flight of Freightliner in Youngstown. I stopped up there to get a water control valve for my heat control valve for my truck. So I pulled into their lot, circled around, parked out there where the truck's parked, you know, to go in for parts and everything. And normally you can go in there and you can park anywhere in that lot, man. Yeah, I went in there last Friday night. I damn near couldn't get turned around in there. There was so many trucks sitting in there waiting for repair in the repair lines and stuff. You couldn't turn around in there. I'm committed then. I jacked around in there for 10 minutes trying to get turned around. I went in there and I told the guy the parts in there. I said, what the hell's the deal out there? He said, every one of them trucks sitting out there is in here for DPF problems or sentries. He said, can't get parts for them.
And that's,
I said, good deal, ain't it?
That's exactly what Pete Ramsey said. He said that the DEF sensors and the NOx sensors, they're nowhere to be found. You cannot get any of those sensors for the DEF systems or anything like that. There's a DEF fluid like level sensor or something for the DEF tank. And you know what's so funny is most of all those parts are all interchangeable. Like if you've got a Freightliner with a DEF tank and you can't find a part, you can probably get the same part at a Kenworth or a Peterbilt dealership, but the only problem is you might have to wire the plugs are different. That's all. The part fits. The part works. Just plugs don't fit. So you can actually, you know, if you knew how to cut wire and all that, you could probably, you know, cut the wire and change out the connector. But other than that,
right,
all the same. The only thing different is the plug. The only thing might be different is that you have a 20-gallon tank, and all you can find is a sensor for a 15-gallon tank. Well, okay, you put that sensor in, it'll work. Your level's not going to be accurate, but guess what? Your truck's not going to be shut down.
Right.
You know, and all that stuff. I mean, you know, a lot of these drivers, we're talking about that, talking about, man, this supply chain, all that. There's trucks there sitting, waiting on parts, waiting on to get service, because the drivers don't know how to work on the trucks themselves, or they don't know how to shop around for parts, and they get on there and they go to the dealership, just like, you know, lease purchase guys. Hey, take it to the dealership. Well, they get there and they say, it's going to be a week, or it's going to be a month before we can get a part. And you're like, well, it's under warranty, so I'm not going to go hunting for parts or pay the part for myself. I'm going to let the warranty do it. That way I don't have to pay for the repair. Okay, so you'd rather sit for 2 weeks and lose that revenue than to come up with $800 to do that repair? Man, I tell you what. You imagine that, losing – in my case, shoot, that would – 2 weeks is like – that's like $10,000 in revenue right there for 2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks. That would kill me in a week.
Yeah.
That's $10,000 a week for me. And, I ain't giving that money up.
Right, and so
that's why
so
I'll just keep driving my raggedy ass old Freightliner.
You know, you call up a Peterbilt, or you know, you go to a dealership that you were told the warranty work. Well, instead of doing that, call up, you know, Napa or Fleet Pride, somebody that actually just sells parts. They don't do the warranty work, but they'll sell you the part, and they have the part. All you gotta do is go get it, and if you can't put it on, go. You know, there's a lot of small shops out there that are looking for work. We were just talking about it where I knew some shops. They were having a hard time with getting business because people buying new trucks. and they can't they can't work on the new trucks because they're all under warranty. Well, they don't do warranty work. They only do work that you have to pay them. And so, like I said, I'd rather go pay that guy $500 to go repair my truck and get it back on the road in a couple of hours rather than sitting there waiting. And then, it's warranty. It didn't cost me a dime. How long did you sit there? 2 weeks? It cost you a whole lot more money than a dime.
You got anybody else waiting?
Nah, man.
We've been on a roll.
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. I like talking about it.
I didn't know if you had anybody else trying to get in or not.
No, yeah, there is. Hang on a second. Let's see who this is. Hey, who is this? Is this 4, 5, 6?
This is Jeff. Listen to
there you go.
Listen to the Greg and Ed show.
No, yeah. Hey, you know what? I was hoping you'd call in because, like I said, we were talking about new trucks and how it's hard to get parts for the deaf. Have you had any trouble with all that stuff? Or your truck's probably still good. Ain't broke down yet, has it?
Don't have any problem with deaf. I've had some little problems. I go to my hometown dealer and they get me ahead of everybody else, and I'm back out the door again. Under warranty, and I don't have to pay a dime. But I love my zip ties. They keep the mirrors on well.
Yeah. And a new truck too. The new truck zip ties. Those are awesome.
Oh yeah. I got 3 bags under the bunk.
What do you call you're talking about hometown. That's the thing though. Having somebody you know that knows you. And you know them.
Oh yeah,
that's such a big deal. You popping into a dealership that you've never been to before, that's like a nightmare waiting to happen.
It's called developing relationships.
There you go. I love that. Yep, that's exactly what we were talking about. As far as it might be a little shop, might be a big shop, might be a dealership, but if you've got people, like it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know, if you got people where you can get in, that's what you want to do. You know, you'd rather break down at home where you know the people that'll work on it rather than, be out there on the road and have to rely on somebody that you don't know, then they don't know you. That's what you don't
want. Yeah, and I tell you what, I got my own fuel card.
There you go.
And I don't know how you can do it any other way because I get 14 cents. Cash price, and I'm not a big fleet. I'm just one guy.
Yeah.
But the other thing that my fuel card will do for me, if I break down the road, they don't charge me any roadside mileage or service charge to come out and fix me. That's part of the benefit of the fuel card.
Yeah. See, that's another thing. When you're shopping around for fuel cards, that's what you want to do is if you've got some extra benefits. It goes along with it. We were talking about it before. The carriers will actually issue fuel cards. And, of course, the carrier, like Swift or Schneider or whatever, they have the breakdown where they'll come get you and stuff like that. But again,
well, if you're a company driver, it don't really matter. But if you're an owner-operator, I've never used the company's fuel card. I like my own. And
right.
In fact, I've had my company ask me why I don't use the NASDAQ program. I said, because I cut the card up. It's kind of hard to use it.
But
the reason I cut the card up, the other thing along with the fuel program is what kind of loyalty program that Fuel Stop has for loyalty cards. TA Petrol used to have one of the best ones in the fleet. And they gave you, decent perks. But now if you do get off the road a week, then your point system's gone. You got to pay for an hour or got to pay for a cup of coffee, And in the old days, you could go any petrol in the country and the coffee was free just for a fill. Well, now TA Petrol's, if you don't make their gear jammer program just right, you're going to pay for that cup of coffee. And like I say, the fuel card I use, I get unlimited coffee, unlimited showers, and Every time I walk in the door, they thank me for walking in the door, and they thank me for buying fuel. And TA Petrol don't know the word thank you for nobody.
There you go.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff.
What's that? Yeah.
I was told to ask you, what fuel card are you using?
What's that?
I was told to ask you, what fuel card are you using?
Lowe's.
You're using Lowe's fuel card.
Lowe's Express. Yeah.
Lowe's Express. Okay, because we've been thinking about checking into one, but yeah, we checked with Comdata, and they're just idiots.
Yeah.
They are idiots. They are idiots. And not only that, but if I want a cash advance, when I used to be with NASDAQ, it cost me 60 cents per fuel or per cash advance, up to $1.50. With the Lowe's fuel card, I can take a cash advance anytime I want one, and they don't charge me a service charge.
Right.
So there's a lot of perks.
But that's the only place you can use it, right?
That's right.
So what if you get out where there's no Lowe's around?
That's like saying, there's more Lowe's. They got Lowe's on your state highways. They got them on U.S. highways. They got them on interstates. They're building about 30 a year.
Yep. My dad drives down there on 75 in Georgia, and he says about every hour you pass a Lowe's on 75 in Georgia. So
you're never anywhere where you can't get a Lowe's. I mean, it's unheard of.
Now you're right. There's a lot of Lowe's out here in the country. They're growing, and
corporate told me if you see a place where there should be a Lowe's, let us know. We are buying property up. We'll put a Lowe's there.
Yeah, tell them come in here in the city of Corpus. That's where they're needed.
Yeah. No doubt there. You're right there. But there's one right outside of town, not too far, going into Corpus.
Stinton, yeah, it's down there, and then if you go south in Kingsville, there's one there. It's kind of an older one though, but here in town, you know, in the city, where,
all right.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, we were talking about that with parking. You know, that's another big issue that truckers don't. You know, it's hard to find parking. Well, there's no truck stop in the city of Corpus where you can actually just park. There's a fuel where you can buy fuel, but there's no place to park. And what happens is every weekday morning when all of those cherry pickers and, you know, all these construction crews and all that, that's where they go because they've got those straight trucks and you can't get those straight trucks at the 7-Eleven. So they come over there to that truck stop where it's a big concrete area, but there's no parking. It's just for fuel, but man, they'll come in there and they park on the side, you know, take up space. You can't make a turn. If you come in there with a big trailer, forget about it because they're all in there taking up space. So yeah, you know, and that place has a Catscale. So yeah,
every time I've came in the Corpus, I always find a place to park tractor trailer.
Well, no, there's plenty of places because there's these, I mean, we have two shopping malls, and only one of them is open. So yeah,
right.
So there's a big, huge, empty parking lot, and then of course there's a lot of these older shopping centers that have, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of stores, but you know, like everybody says, the old shopping centers, it's all one big piece of asphalt. There's no trees and curbs and all that crap. So yeah, the older shopping centers are better because there's a lot of room to turn because there's no trees and curbs and all that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, no, I agree with you. There's plenty of parking, but there's no truck stops.
I guess
when you buy a truck, a Freightliner lets me park there wherever I come to town.
Yeah. Well, they're not in town. They're out there on 37. That's not in town.
Well, I guess you're right.
I'm going to start one around it that TA Petro is going to start buying into Walmart, and they're going to put some fuel islands out in front of Walmart, and they'll have all kinds of truck parking. They got the grocery store, the convenience store and everything. But this one over here in town, they got more trucks in there than they got cars.
Oh, yeah. Well, just outside of town here, there's a town of Portland, Texas, which is on the other side of the bay from Corpus, and that Walmart has truck parking, and, man, it is packed, always packed, always. But, yeah. Yeah, you see that out there.
Well, you went over to this one over here in town, Ed, with Tiff, wasn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, well, we were over there.
A word of caution with Walmarts now, though.
Yeah.
Very few of them are letting you park on them anymore. They will have you towed.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. In fact, if you're out there in the bigger cities, there's Walmarts that have blue, like the building is blue. They've got the blue sign and all that. If you see a Walmart with a green sign, that's a different division, and they are very strict. The green Walmarts won't let you park there. They will run you off.
That one down in Laredo never used to say anything yet.
No, they do now.
There's a blue Walmart south of Missouri down there, south of Mount Vernon. Can't remember what mile mark is that, but I know that one there. Used to park in there all the time, and if you park there now, it's a blue one, and you get a local cop saying if you don't move this truck in 5 minutes, we will be towing it.
Yeah, well, so Greg was talking about Laredo. So the Laredo used to be the only place you could park in Laredo was the Walmart. There was no place to park at Laredo other than the Walmart. But now the Walmart parking lot has the bars where you can't – if you're over 12 foot, you can't get underneath it. I think they got it even down to 10. So, like, even bobtails. So when you go down there, it's funny. When you go to that Walmart over there, there's a road that goes in between the Home Depot and the Walmart, and it is just – the each side of the street is nothing but trucks because it's a public road. And then the there's an area you can get a truck into the Home Depot, but they'll run you off. But they'll let you, a lot of times you'll see bobtails parked in the Home Depot, and they don't say too much about that. But mostly it's all bobtails down there, and they're all bumper to bumper on that road. But you can't get a big truck into the Walmart. They've got the bars going across the entrances and all that. But the Walmart in
Phoenix the same way. But you also got. Trucks that go in and deliver into those Walmarts, and if you go into those Walmart lots that way, you can come on the front lot from the backside, yeah. and you bypass all the bars.
Right. What they do is in fact, there's one up there in Arkansas alongside 55 where that you couldn't get into the front parking lot, but then people would sneak around. Like you said, you go in the back, and then you can go around the building and get into the front. Well, they put up bars right there by the garden center.
Oh, do they now?
Yeah, well, that's the one in Arkansas. Now, Laredo, what I will say in Laredo is that there's a HEB, a big, huge HEB with a shopping center, and there's restaurants and all kinds of stuff. They won't let trucks park in the parking lot except bobtails in one little section. They've got a section that's nothing but bobtails, and it is bobtail parking, and it says bobtail only. And if that section is full, then you ain't parking there.
The trucker that parked there that left his garbage, his pee bottles and his shit bags on the parking lot has kind of screwed that up for everybody else.
Well, that's pretty much what happened.
Oh, wait a minute. Joe Biden left his shit at the Vatican, and he parted over there in England, and nobody said nothing to him.
Well, that's our president now, you know, he...
Well, I'm calling bullshit. I'm calling discrimination here. If he can throw their kiddies pants over there at the Vatican around the Pope, and they fart over there in England around them, whatever, and they get upset because I pee in their parking lot, come on. At least it wasn't in my pants.
I tell you what, man, the truck drivers, I can't agree more. Truck drivers
I was told by a manager at Walmart that they found a bunch of pee bottles on a parking lot, and for them, per OSHA to get rid of the pee bottles, they got to put a hazmat outfit on to go out to pick up that bottle.
See?
Are you serious?
It's OSHA.
You want to go pick up pee bottles? Wouldn't you wear a hazmat suit?
I ain't putting in a bottle. Yeah. I just pissed their parking lot because I don't like Walmart anyhow.
No.
Can't wait.
But tell me something. No, wait a minute. Now here's something for food for thought. Think about this. Now, animals go out there, and they navigate all over the damn woods, all over your yard, all over the street. They pee on every tree, whatever they do out there. Animals are animals. They go out and crap in the grass. Nobody says nothing. I go out there and pull my pants down and shit, and all of a sudden here comes hazmat after me. Does that tell you what they're feeding us, that they don't want our manure, but they'll take the animals?
You know, I just nobody wants to look at your naked ass. I think that's what they don't want to do.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
You got to go.
Greg, it's just because you knock a buzzard off a shit wagon.
Yeah, man, I tell you. But
I never understood that. Animals go out there crap all the time. If you go out and throw something out, it's a hazmat problem, a hazmat issue.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought we were going to talk about mandates tonight.
Well, I did. You didn't call in soon enough.
Or maybe I was on.
Okay.
Yeah, but
well,
the
talk about mandates now. I'm out of here.
Yeah, because we're almost done anyway. But I didn't know if you heard or not, Jeff. But the Secretary of Labor said that they're exempt, that the truckers were exempt because they're working outside. That's what he said.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got my shot, and I'm proud of it. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, if anybody's, that's the thing is, it's I don't know. I just think that we're giving too many people, you know, if you get naturally immune because you went and caught it and now you're over it, okay, so what's the big deal, you know? So I don't know.
I was natural immune. I was around it, never did catch it, you know, but my president, Donald Trump, developed it for me, and I thought I got one of the first rounds, so.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, but I was always under the impression that there were people that needed it before I needed it, before I would need it, and you know,
it just pisses me off now that I'm mandated to wear a mask. I said, wait a minute, I'm vaccinated. Oh, it don't matter. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, we were supposed to be done with it because now kids can get the vaccine, so it should be over now. Everybody has the opportunity to get vaccinated right now. So we should be done.
Now there's a date to be over with it.
Yeah.
2024 we'll be over with it.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's all a mind control thing. That's what it is.
Now you see the shit coming to an end in 2022.
Yeah,
2024 we quit living in fear.
Well, 2022.
I've been living in fear already. I don't know about you. I'm over it already.
But just like the mandate.
I'm living in fear, man.
You know, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, they've all filed suits against OSHA and against the administration for the mandate. So, you know, they're always – so there's going to be a fight for it to be actually enforced. Most
I'm living in fear –
haven't done anything. So
I'm living in fear. I'm fearful that Joe Biden's going to fuck up so bad that I don't know how to speak Chinese.
Well, you don't have to worry about that because Kamala will take over before that happens.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a bright spot.
Or how about Buttigieg? Buttigieg. He's going to take over, too. He's one of those slick willy guys you better watch out for.
He's still trying to count the wheels on a truck.
Yeah.
Kamala needs to go back to California, back out there with Willie Brown.
Buttigieg is singing the song, the wheels on the bus go round and round too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
Kamala needs to go back to California to do what she does best out there. Go back out there to Willie Brown.
What, stand on the corner at, God. All right. Yeah, well, I thought I better call in. So.
All right, gentlemen. I'm out of here. It's time for you to sign off. I will talk to you next Sunday, Ed. In fact, I'll give you a call one night this week or sometime.
Sounds good.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye now. That's it. That's how it's done. Hey, appreciate everybody for listening along and everything. And I'm going to figure out what I did here on the Facebook Live to figure out if that's we can keep that going. But until then, we're going to be on YouTube Live. That seems to be working out for us really well. I like being on YouTube. I want to keep growing on YouTube. I want everybody to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's been doing great things for us. And that's hopefully, you know, we get sponsors and we get on YouTube and you watch the videos and the sponsors like it when you watch the videos. And then hopefully we get enough where YouTube says, hey, you're on there and we're going to pay you for our ads too. So that'd be good for Redneck and I's, where we could start creating more revenue, where we could, you know, make sure that we can get the word out and make more videos and, you know, better production. Maybe we can get some better sound quality to be on Facebook, you know, that kind of stuff. So we're always looking to make improvements and all that stuff like that. Remember, we're just a small group of truckers trying to help truckers be better truckers. And, you know, we all got regular jobs that we go to during the week. That's why we only do the show once a week, because it's on our time off, you know, and we can, you know, get out here and help drivers along. I've been actually spending more time getting more information for y'all so where I can share more and get things out to y'all and everything. In fact, we got more stuff to talk about. We didn't get to it this show, so we got more and more stuff to talk about next week, and we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling. And, of course, we will be at the Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville, Kentucky. That'll be in March 24th, I think it is. We're going to be in the parking lot, hopefully with a big setup that we normally do and everything, you know, but we will be there, and we will have a booth this time around. If anybody knows us, we've never actually had a booth there before. We will this year, and we'll be there, and we'll bring our Redneck and I's radio, and we'll be, you know, making videos and interviewing people and talking to truckers and talking about life on the road and Redneck and I's moments that you've had out there where you've, you know, taken care of business and got the job done. And that's how we do it in the trucking industry. So be sure to check out our sponsors. One of the other great sponsors that we have on here is LTR Transportation. That's Load to Ride Transportation. They're a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. You know, those guys, they came on with us wanting to get their name out there and everything. And, you know, when they first talked to us, when we first talked to them, their website was really just, you know, just there. And now it's like this awesome with video and information and ways to get a hold of them and chat and all that good stuff. And it's got a lot of information about what they do. They do a lot of the, you know, they do expedited, they do temperature control, they do warehousing, all that stuff. So, you know, they're looking to get business and they're looking for drivers. So, Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And that's LTR Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com. And when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we really do appreciate them supporting us and everything. So go check them out. And don't forget to check out the other sponsors we got. It's DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, and Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com. And like I said, we'll all be at the truck show there in March, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, links to all of our sponsors there, and also links to all of our social media accounts, especially YouTube. You can go, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really do appreciate it. Even though you don't get on YouTube that much, if you have an Android phone, especially if you have an Android phone, you've already got a YouTube account pretty much. It's your Gmail account is signed in automatically to the YouTube account because it's all one big company, right? So all you got to do is open the app, and then it'll try to tell you you can do all this stuff and like it, but just go in. And then you can click on, you know, find Redneck and I's, just search Redneck and I's. You just subscribe, and you can even hit the little notification bell where you either get notifications that we posted videos or not. You can turn it off. And we just want you to be able to see us on YouTube, because we got a lot of great videos. We've got videos addressed to four-wheelers. So we're talking to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks, trying to teach the regular public about trucking and how trucking affects them in everyday life, on the road driving especially. So go check those out. But we're here every Sunday. For right now, I can tell you that we're not going to have a show on the weekends of Thanksgiving and the weekend of Christmas. I've already made my plans to go visit family, and I'll be traveling those days, so we won't be having a show then. We'll be visiting family, of course, but everybody else, you know, stay safe out there. If you're able to get home, great. If not, stay safe. But we will be here all the other weeks of Sunday at 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can call in at 516-387-1733 and to be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we love talking to truckers and talking to trucking, you know, and anything else you got, whatever you got. You know, you heard, if you listen to the show tonight, you heard it. We talk about anything and everything. So bring it on. So we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Like I said, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. All right, now. Let's see. Is that playing? There you go. All right, good deal. Hey, we're going to leave it out now. And everybody have a good evening. Stay out there. Like I said, you can check the, Yellowstone season premiere tonight. The new season is already playing, but then after that, at 9 o'clock Central Time, the next one it's going to replay. So have a good night, everybody. All right, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you later.
Now I don't want to leave your side for that lonesome road, but here I go, climbing back behind the wheel. 50 feet of chrome and steel and alone they need in Chicago. Through the middle of the night unknown, on a ride that won't let me go. I'm in I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be, wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I'm doing. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. High-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in the cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They don't mind you, my way.